Do you have trouble staying motivated? Do you start something full of enthusiasm, but then you start to feel the motivation slip away? Is this something that has been constantly happening with you? Maybe not in all areas of your life, but in some key areas, possibly health. And does this keep happening? What's up, my friend? I'm health expert, or I should say, I'm health coach Ted Rice. I coach CEOs, MDs, executives, and other high-performing professionals to success with their health, with their performance, helping them to lose fat and boost their energy. And the way we do things here at Legendary Life, if this is your first time listening, is that we break down science-based information on how to lose fat, prevent disease, and live a legendary life. What's a legendary life? Well, it comes down to this. You can achieve goals, but if those goals don't fulfill you, then what the hell are you bothering trying to achieve them for? So we need not just high achievement, but the combination of high achievement and high fulfillment. And that's really what this is about, especially on Real Talk Fridays, where we just have a conversation, you and I, about the other stuff, aside from all the physiology and the neuroscience and the, you know, the fat loss physiology, the exercise information, all those things. So if that's what you're interested in, if I've piqued your curiosity and this is your first time listening, be sure to click that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have been a listener for a while, then why not write us a review? I usually plug the challenge at this point for the listeners who have been here for a while, but the challenge is on hold for a little bit as we make some changes to not just the challenge, but to our coaching program in general. And that is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Big things are happening over here. We're hiring new people. We are growing our team and we are expanding what we're doing. And we're hiring a new business coach. Hint, hint, the key to success, not trying to figure things out from listening to podcasts and reading books. Getting experts, having them pay them to have them shortcut the whole process. I'll tell you more about that and as it goes on, because it's quite an in-depth process that'll last 12 months. More on that on some other Real Talk Friday. Let's get back to this question today about motivation. And I want to share with you my own story. So for those of you who've been listening, and for the edification and bring you up to speed for the ones who haven't been listening, I've been dealing with a lot of stuff with my dad. Was in Colombia ever since February 2nd, by the way, which is my birthday, same day as James Joyce, a writer who I've never read anything by, but no. All the way up until May 30th. And I got a call probably about 6 or 7 days before my flight on May 30th from my dad. Was in a bad situation health-wise, was actually in the emergency room, and I flew home as soon as I could. And ever since I arrived to Florida, which happened to be the new growing epicenter of COVID infections, and stepping in to help my dad with the psychological and medical mess he was in, you know, I went through some stuff. And to kind of fast forward that whole conversation, that whole story, especially for those of you that you've been following it for a while and maybe kind of interested in hearing something else. But here I am at the tail end of it. It's August 6th as I record this. And I'm out the other side. My dad's doing really well. He's doing a lot better. Let's not exaggerate too much. Really well is a bit of an exaggeration, but he's 1,000% better in his words. Moved him to a new place, got him better care, fixed a lot of this stuff that needed to be fixed, spent a lot of time, spent a lot of money, spent a lot of effort, took me away from so many things, including myself. And here I am, kind of out the other side. He's in a good position. And I've I'm good now, but I was struggling for a while to get back in the groove because the stress of dealing with my dad's situation, not just his situation, but also his negative emotional state, took a lot out of me. And I'll tell you what I went to every time that I was over there and the stress was rising because he was just very difficult to deal with. I just go over to his refrigerator, pop open the freezer, start eating the frozen yogurt that he usually has, or I would just start snacking. It was just the thing to do, right? There was, I was solving problems. It wasn't that I wasn't. I got to tell you, thank God, Giselle stepped in to help me. And also I've been doing my therapy. For those of you who don't know, I do a therapy session every single week. Although I might miss this week, which will make 2 weeks missed in the past, I don't know, 8 months. But I've been in therapy every single week, almost every single week, being consistent and really having the help from those people. And both Giselle and my therapist, Amelia, helped me to solve so many of the problems that came up. But still, there I was feeding my emotions with food. And I lost my motivation. I had stopped tracking my food. I had backed off on my workouts. I'm still not back to the level of fitness that I had when I was in Colombia, or even just normally, to be honest. I mean, even before I got into great, 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 great shape, I was still very consistent with my workouts. I've been fairly consistent working out, but the intensity, the duration and intensity has kind of scaled down. And this is not a bad thing, by the way. I felt like I did what I needed to do. It is part of what I preach, losing the all or nothing mentality. So many people in my situation would have stopped completely and just gone in the opposite direction. Instead, I dialed down the focus and prioritization of exercise and nutrition. My bottom two abs kind of disappeared. So I'm rocking more of a 4-ish, 6-ish pack, somewhere in between that, instead of like the super lean that I was. Not quite, but I'm on my way back there, by the way. We're going to be talking about that. And I also backed off on the exercise. And it wasn't, by the way, because I'm lazy or just couldn't get myself to do it. The levels of stress that I was under dealing with his situation, and also at first, at least, trying to solve situations, trying to solve problems that I didn't have the skills to solve, really took a toll. And so the first lesson that I want to bring to you is that I practice what I preach when it comes to that all or nothing or always something. I practiced always something. I did some type of exercise every single day, even if it was just a little bit, even if it was just getting up, standing more. I always did something. I pushed myself to be active because that is what successful people do. We're gonna return to this again, but a great quote from Chris Friesen, a neuropsychologist who also is a performance coach and someone who I've worked with. The most successful people make their day-to-day decisions not based on their moods, their negative thoughts, their energy levels, or circumstances. They make their decisions based on their goals and values. And so my goals are to stay in shape always, to always do something, to never give in to, oh no, I can't do anything. I can get up, I can go for a walk, I can get some steps in. There's always something I can do. I can do some mobility exercises. And I would say that's the one thing, the one mistake I see so many people make is they're all or nothing. I've talked about this a lot. So for some of you, or probably most of you, this is rehashing or revisiting is a better word to use. This topic. However, I would ask you, well, okay, so you know it, you say you know it, but do you do it? Probably not, unless you've worked with me. And what I'll tell you is it's crucial to always do something. The next lesson I think that I can share with you is to accept the situation, accept like I was really trying hard to stay on point, stay in the best shape I could. I did a reasonably good job. I mean, if you saw my photos now, you wouldn't go, whoa, man, what happened? You would say, yeah, Ted, you still look great. You're just not super duper ripped, right? But most people would be happy to trade places with you. Even people who exercise a lot and are lean would be happy to trade places with you. But again, it's not about comparisons with other people. It's about how I feel. And so I'm on my way back to becoming leaner. I'm on my way back to regaining the motivation. But at first, I had to really practice what I preach with that always something. And I also had to accept that I was just in a situation and I had to go through it. And I knew there was an end to it. Much like this COVID-19 situation, there will be an end to it. There will be a return to traveling. There will be a return to work. It might look different than before. It might be a bit unusual at first, but there will be some type of return to normal. There always is. And just keeping that in mind and saying, this too shall pass. And not being too hard on myself while also trying my hardest to accomplish my goals, to live from that quote, to make decisions based on my goals and values instead of letting the circumstances or negative thoughts or whatever, my mood, dictate the majority of my decisions. And again, this is not an all or nothing situation either. We're always going to lose out, especially those of us who struggle like I do with mood, energy level, circumstances, negative thoughts. I'm never going to be completely free of them. And I accept that. And that acceptance, while also striving at the same time, seems counterintuitive, but it's not. In fact, the acceptance can allow you to, because being hard on yourself usually doesn't help, right? And to go back to something that one of my clients, Jeff, said, shout out to you, Jeff, if you're listening. He said, the number one thing that I think I took away from you, Ted, is that you're always results oriented. And I always think about the results. Always, what is it about? It's about the results. It's about the results. And so many people are hard on themselves, but it doesn't lead to a better result. And I would ask you, are you guilty of that? Are you hard on yourself, but then that being hard on yourself doesn't lead to better results? Then why the fuck do it? And I want to say this, there was a time when I was super hard on myself, but I'm not there anymore. And I didn't even have to talk myself into it. I just naturally forgive myself, naturally accept things and forgive myself while also striving for the highest accomplishment or achievement that I can make happen. Now, I want to ask you, are you doing that? Are you guilty of that? It's okay if you are. Again, I'm not giving you an opportunity to bash yourself here. I'm just asking you to be more detached emotionally and more attached to the results instead of the up and down emotional roller coaster. So let's talk about motivation. What I have my clients do and what I've been doing myself, I have them track their nutrition. I have them use MyFitnessPal and I teach them how to do it in a way that leads to not just great results, but in an education to where they can stop using MyFitnessPal. And by the way, if you're listening right now and you're like, well, yeah, I've used MyFitnessPal and I didn't get great results or I couldn't do it. Or listen, you did it wrong, pure and simple. You weren't taught how to do it. You don't know why you're doing it. You probably used MyFitnessPal's settings for your calories and macros based on some data that you entered, and that ain't the right stuff to follow. You're using MyFitnessPal on their terms, and they don't care whether you get results or not. They care more about whether you stay on the app and keep paying for the premium. And that's not my business model. My business model is very simple. If you start to think about businesses and business models, it's very simple to think about if your interests line up with their interests. So my coaching program is based on results. That's why I show you photos. That's why I write emails telling my client stories. And that's why I record their stories and share them with you. I don't get paid more or less if you stay on MyFitnessPal or not. I get my business grows based on the results that I get. But MyFitnessPal probably, I don't know this to be fact, but looking at what they do, it's about keeping you on the app. So back to, that was a bit of a tangent, but an important one, I think. Back to what I would do. So I've been tracking my nutrition, but I've been really struggling to do it, at least for a while. And even last night, I had a few things that I didn't, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to skip not putting it in. But I did it anyway. I was like, ah, that's not your best self-talking. That's your bullshit self-talking, Ted. Take a few fucking seconds and type in this data, right? Do it. And so I did it. And I've been on track, but I've had a few moments. And I want to talk about this because we had a great discussion, at least I thought. I hope you enjoyed Monday's episode talking about whether obesity is a choice or not. And I hope you really took away from there, like, this is a really about engaging the executive system of your brain, that part of your brain that's responsible for goal setting, for following through on those goals, for engineering your environment for success, for engaging in those moments where you don't want to track. You're like, I'm tired. I had a few drinks because I hung out with a friend of mine in Miami, took a 2-hour drive down, drove 2 hours back through a terrible storm, by the way. It was a bit more than a 2-hour drive because of the storm. Saw multiple cars turned on their heads, turned upside down from a terrible accident. So I couldn't imagine what those must have looked like. And we were having those because we had a hurricane here. I'm sure you probably saw that if you're in the US. So after all that craziness on the way back, I still got here and I didn't feel like tracking, but I engaged that executive system of my brain. I said, you know what? You care about doing this. You want to get results. And one of the ways to get back there, even if you're having even if you're eating or drinking things that are not the healthiest for you, this is the way to balance it all out so that you can make better decisions. So I engage my executive part of my brain, the executive system of my brain, the prefrontal cortex, track things, and boom. And every time that I do that, it gets easier to do. And I want to talk about two different things here, but I want to, whatever program that you're on, or if you happen to be a client and you're listening to this, whatever program that you're on, you have a list of things that you need to do regularly, consistently. And if you don't do them consistently, you don't get results. And it really is usually that, right? Now, there's a misinformation problem. That's another topic entirely, which we're not going to go into. But once you know what works, it's a matter of doing it. But there are those moments where you just don't freaking want to do it. And it's in those moments, if you can engage that part of yourself, the better part of yourself, the part that has all the goals and thought they'd, you know, if you listen to that part more, you'd be in a vastly different place in your life. If you could just listen to that part of you more, well, how do you strengthen that part of you? Well, you do it. You create a habit of listening to it. And in those moments, but I'll tell you this, and this is the other lesson that I wanted to share with you, is that if you have too many stresses, if you've got too much going on in your life, that part of your brain doesn't work well. If you're obese, it seems that that part of your brain isn't working well. And if you're a leader, if you're an entrepreneur, a CEO, high-level profession, an accountant, attorney, medical doctor, and you're obese, I'm not saying that you're doing your job poorly. Although that could be the case, hey, I don't know your situation. But I will tell you this, without knowing your situation, is that you could be doing better. You could be making better decisions. And when you make better decisions, your life gets better. You get better, your life gets better, and that affects every single person that you come in contact to. And how many people do we come in contact with who end up helping us feel better than we initially were, versus how many people kind of suck the energy out of you, suck the life out of you, their negativity, their anxiety, their depression, their tiredness, their sluggishness, their victimization, blaming the world, blaming other people. So by becoming a positive influence, you're literally, I believe, changing the world. This episode is sponsored by Organifi. Do you want to know a secret that all my coaching clients follow? It's really simple, but powerful. Add vegetables into each meal. But let's be honest, most of us, including myself, don't eat the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits each day. So for those of us who are on the go or have trouble eating healthy, having a greens powder makes it easy to get your greens in every single day, no matter how busy you are. And that's why I use and recommend Organifi Green Juice, a superfood powder that you just add water to so that you can get your greens in even when you're on the go. The best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that it actually tastes great. But don't believe me, try it for yourself. And use the code TED20, that's capital T-E-D, the number 20, at www.organifi.com. That's Organifi.com to receive 20% off your first order. But hurry, this is a limited time discount for Legendary Life listeners. Now, back to the episode. But you can't do that when you don't have your shit together. And so many of us, we have our shit together in some ways, maybe financially, business-wise, as a parent, but we have this other area with our health that just isn't where it should be or it could be. And I don't mean ripped with abs and ready to pose in a bikini or shirtless on the cover of a fitness magazine. I'm talking about so that you feel good enough to do all the things that you need to do so that all the people that rely on you, whether you're a parent, whether you're a business owner, whether you have clients, whoever's relying on you, you step up for and deliver. And if I had to say one thing that could make the world better is that realizing that you're part of this collective and that you matter, and that it matters what you do, and it matters how you are, and it matters what you transfer to people. And that is something I think about when I look for the motivation to get my act together. I want to view myself as an asset, not a liability, but far too many people are liabilities, even if they've got it going on in a certain area. And how do we judge success in at least American society? I've lived in different countries, but especially when you don't speak the language, it's really hard to make generalizations about what their values are. But I'll tell you, in American society, we look at people who make money and those are the winners. And what far few people know, unless you really spend a lot of time with successful or who we view or hold up or as financially successful people, is that those people really struggle a lot, especially if they don't have a good balance between work and personal life. In fact, some of the reason that people have become successful are actually because of some psychological stuff. I don't feel good enough. My father never made me feel good enough. My mother told me I never amount to anything. Whatever it was, maybe society told you that. I mean, for me, my personal, my stepmother told me that I'd never make money. I'd never do this. I'd never do that. I'm doing better than she ever did. Now, she died of a heart attack, and so I'm doing better in health-wise, and I don't mean to laugh, but had a very complicated relationship with her because of her, speaking of ripple effects and having an effect on people, she is exactly who I was talking about. She was making six figures a year. She was a tax attorney, but a very, she had a lot of trauma. Right. Not sure what the whole story was, but, the family was not good. They all ended up with problems. So without going into too much detail, like that's kind of like the situation I was dealing with. People telling me that I couldn't do things and I was driven to succeed because of that. So I'm just kind of sharing that, but I want you to think about you and what's driving you to succeed. What's driving you to excel in your career, in your business? Where's that coming from? And I also want to say this, that's not a weakness, that's a strength. However, one thing I love to tell people is what got you here won't get you to the next level. What got you to this level won't get you to the next level. What happens is we develop a certain way, we develop our strengths, we go after things, we achieve our goals, we reach a certain level, and then We can't get beyond it. And so often, it's not by working harder in our careers or businesses, et cetera. It's a personal thing that we've got to solve. It's something else. It's the relationships in our life, or what this podcast is about. It's about your health, about solving that, about investing in it and taking it to the next level. One of the things that I have my coaching clients do, and actually we were doing this in the challenge, and this is something that you can do on your own, is to do the heaven and hell exercise. And what it is like, what is the hell that you're in right now? Because you're coming back and listening to this podcast for a reason. It's not for nothing. It's not just entertainment. I'm not that funny, right? I do my best, but you won't be buying tickets to my stand-up comedy show anytime. However, you keep coming back to this. We talk about health predominantly. We talk about psychological health, but it's all about health. What is it that keeps you coming back? Why do you want to solve this so bad? Write it down. What happens if you don't solve this? What happens if you don't step up in this area? What happens if you keep doing the same thing, getting the same results, and nothing changes? What happens? What happens in 1 year? What happens in 5 years? What about 10 years? I don't want you just to listen to me right now. I want you to, if you can, close your eyes even and think about it. Or get out a piece of paper and write it down. And if you're not willing to do that, that's part of your problem. You're stuck in an information gathering phase where it's like more information, more information, more information. Makes you feel like you're making progress, but your weight hasn't changed. You're not any stronger on any of your lifts. You don't have a better workout routine. But because you listened to this, it made you feel like you were doing something. How do I know? Well, I was stuck there too. So on top of the hell that you're in and thinking about how this is not affecting or how this is affecting you in a negative way, we got to think about, well, what is the vision that you want to create for yourself too? What would happen? What would it look like for you to get this handled? What would that look like for you? Is it a number on a scale? Is it a body fat percentage? Is it a certain look? Is it a different version of yourself that you see in a mirror? What exactly do you see there? And how does it affect your life outside of just your health, outside of just being off the blood pressure medication or cholesterol medication, aside from the weight on the scale? How is it going to affect your life? How is it going to affect your relationship with your husband or your wife? How is it going to really affect your relationship with your kids? How is it going to really affect your relationship at work? I've had a woman tell me, you know what? I don't like wearing I'm having a problem because I don't like going to these meetings. Of course, that's all changed with COVID, but she didn't like going to meetings because she didn't like putting on the clothes that she had to wear because of her body. I've had women tell me that their husband wants to have sex, but they don't want to have sex because they don't feel good about the way they look. I've had guys tell me that they don't like taking off their shirts because they don't like the way they look. I've had guys tell me they feel like the fattest guy in the room sometimes because they get into a room and they're looking around and they're full of people who are successful, but these people have their health figured out, or at least it seems that way. I mean, that's the story at least, and they don't. I've had guys tell me so many things. I've had women tell me so many things, and I'll tell you, there's so many commonalities. So what is it for you? What would it be for you to have this fixed? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. So many times we're afraid to scratch the surface. Oh, I just want to lose a few pounds. I just want to feel healthier. Oh, here's one that I hear from both men and women. I want to feel more comfortable in my own skin. And what I've come to believe about that statement, and I could be wrong, but this is just from listening to so many people talk about this and listening to the context. It's that we have a certain vision of ourselves, a certain idea in our minds about our body, how we look. And then when we start to see it shift over the years, we look in that mirror, we see the shift, we see the waistline disappear, we see our shape start to change, we see rolls happening. And this is all in addition to the wrinkles and the graying, right? And all the other things we got to put up as we get older. And it feels like we lose ourselves. like we've lost something. I know I felt that way when I was 210 pounds, 24% body fat. I didn't get that way because I was so happy in my life and just having a good time and eating and just eating and just really enjoying life. I got there because I was unhappy, because of stress, because of instead of stepping up and fixing the problems that I was struggling with, I would turn to food instead. And also in my case, at least initially, I had a lot of misinformation, even though I've been in this business my whole entire life. And at that time, I believe I was in the business around 16 years, had a lot of misinformation in my head. Probably one of the top takeaways that my clients share with me too, I just had so much misinformation and you made it super simple and clear for me, Ted. I got told that today twice, because I've had two coaching calls today. That's why that happened. We were both kind of both situations required some focus on this, how things have changed for them after, you know, working with me. These are the things that we need to have handled to get our motivation back. Motivation comes from a deeper level. I'll share with you, I don't want to be old. I will get old, but I don't want to be old. So I can't control the fact that chronological age is out of my hands. But I can control, most of the time at least, how many times a week I work out, what choices I make, what I choose to buy at the grocery store. Even if I mess up, it's okay. But at least if I'm doing more of the good stuff than the things that work against me, the good habits versus the bad habits, I get to get results and I get to have a little ice cream too. I want to enjoy life as much as possible. And I'll tell you one of the things that I've taken away from my experience in Vero Beach. I'm actually in a place 30 minutes south. I'm in Fort Pierce now. But in Vero Beach, it's like a retirement community on steroids. Sounds funny to say, right? They probably need some steroids to get those T levels up and whatever. But anyway, so these people, and there's a culture that gets created with these retirement communities, and you even see it in the younger people. It just becomes acceptable to let your body fall apart. It becomes part of the local culture. And in the lower income areas, it's even worse, which is a story for another day, but it's like it becomes part of the local culture. It just becomes okay to be riding around in a scooter, to not really take care of yourself, to be falling apart, make jokes about it, ha, ha, ha. Except inside you're dying because you just want to get up and walk around without having to use a walker or a cane or scooter. And that has helped me. I don't want to ever be one of those people. I will never be like my dad unless at least the choices that are within my control. Oh, it's a rough ride, let me tell you. People don't get old and die. Oh, you just get old and die. No, you don't. You get old, your body starts falling apart, you start taking medications and you live for a long time and it's a miserable existence that many people find struggle, that or many people experience struggle to get through. My dad told me, he's like, I lived way longer than I thought I would and I'm living way longer than I want to. It's like, well, stop taking your medication, but he won't do that. I don't want him to either, but I'm just saying, why don't you stop taking your medication? If you want out, there's no euthanasia, but that's the closest thing you got. Die of a heart attack or a stroke. Just get taken out. Massive stroke, massive heart attack. Doesn't want to do it. So he keeps taking his medication. But also, so doesn't want to stop taking his medication, but doesn't want to step up and live life either. And part of the obstacle, by the way, and this is really important, is he feels bad. So it's harder to take action when you feel bad. But the problem is you can never feel good until you take action. So I had one client recently tell me, and I think I've already shared this, but I'll share it again, is that she said she had not taken action and gotten herself in gear and eaten better and lost weight and exercised because she felt so bad all the time. But then she started because she had a spark of motivation and felt better. And then she lost motivation and went backwards and started feeling all the same things. And she said, I'm starting to feel all the same problems that I had from not doing this, from not exercising, from not being on top of my nutrition. All the reasons why I never wanted to start in the first place are exactly what I'm experiencing because I stopped. So I'm going to wrap things up now, but I hope this helps. It's my goal in this podcast, especially on the Real Talk Fridays, to talk some sense out there into the internet podcast world. Because so many people are talking about so many different things, and I feel like they're doing a big disservice by not talking about this stuff. They're afraid to offend you. They're afraid to say something that might hurt their bottom line. Well, guess what? My business is doing great, so I'm not worried, right? I don't want to offend you either for the sake of offending you, but you know, someone told me something great. You're afraid to, I mean, you say what most people are afraid to say. And I'm just coming from a place of wanting to help. And I look at other people in my, you know, other influencers, whatever you want to call podcasters, whatever, and they're just not talking about what really matters. So I hope this filled a gap for you and helped got you on track, helped got you more motivated, at least a step further, even if you're not going to take action. In fact, why don't we end things like this? What is something you can do right now? Are you behind on your workouts? Well, why don't you drop and give me some push-ups, drop and give me some crunches, hold a plank for as long as you can, give me some bodyweight squats, do something, because so many people, well, that's not a workout. That doesn't matter much. It's about the habit. It's about the habit. It's about the actions to build momentum and to build momentum psychologically. Not about the fucking optimal fucking workout. Fuck. It's about doing something and making a habit of doing something. That's what people are missing. Not the optimal fucking workout routine and the goddamn fucking perfect macronutrient split for your diet. That shit is important, but if you don't have the habit yet, which so many people don't have, especially if you're one of these all or nothing folks, focus on the habit. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you do something, you do it consistently. It doesn't matter how much you do either. So what are you going to do right now? What will you do right now? That is all that matters. And if you keep sitting and listening to this and you don't do anything, well, now you know what the problem is. One of the, you know, people talk about high performance habits. One of the most important habits you can ever develop is how to be consistent. How to develop habits in the first place. In fact, I ain't that smart, but I'll tell you one thing. I've learned how to motivate myself. I've learned how to get myself in gear and how to build consistency. Even when I get kicked in the teeth, even when I fall off the wagon, even when I fall on my face. So what will you do now after listening? That's the question that I don't want you to answer. I want you to do something. All right? And I say that not because I'm mad at you, because I'm not. I want you to succeed. And I feel like people aren't telling you this enough. Turn off the podcast. Go do something. Don't listen to another one. If you're driving, cool. I get it. If you're already exercising, awesome work. What do you need to do for your health that you're not doing? Is it nutrition? Because if it's weight that you're not able to lose, then it's certainly a nutrition problem if you're exercising. But I'm doing everything right. No, you're not. Okay? Really, really simple. Is it more stress relief? Maybe you're good with your weight. Maybe you're good with your exercise. Maybe you just feel on edge all the time. In fact, your insane workouts are part of what's driving you to the edge because you think you got to crush it every time you show up to the gym. Guess what? That's a recipe for burnout. Stress plus recovery is what is the magic equation that leads to growth, adaptation, all the good, feeling good, all those things. Stress plus stress equals burnout. Goes for everything. So what is it that you need to do? In case you were one of those people like, oh, I'm exercising right now. I don't need to do anything. Well, maybe you need to work on your recovery. Maybe you need to work on your sleep. Maybe you should take up Headspace's meditation challenge. What is it that you can do now? That's what I want you to answer. That's what I want you to take action on. Go make it happen. You can do this. Hope this helped spark some motivation in you. And always remember, I love you, want the best for you. And I will speak to you on Monday. So have an amazing weekend. Be well and speak soon.